This is the Schnitt Show.
Regarding the president and Twitter, you know, we had a little clarification from Sean Spicer earlier today at the press conference. Oh, incidentally, Sean Spicer was back. There was speculation that Sean Spicer might be gone forever because Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the daughter of Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas and presidential candidate on several occasions, there was speculation that maybe she had the gig permanently yesterday. Because even she noted that Sean Spicer was taking on added responsibilities behind the scenes. You know, they're without a White House communications director. And there's been speculation, that Trump didn't like Spicer and the fact that he was not doing a good job and that Spicer wasn't long for the administration. He was going to be booted. But now Spicer's doing more behind the scenes. Who the heck knows? But Spicer came back out today, and Spicer did today's press briefing. And what Spicer said today was that Trump tweets are official statements from Trump. Now, there was a little dust-up. We had a little back and forth between, what's his name, Melvin, you know, from MSNBC. So what's Melvin's first name? You know, the anchor over at NBC, MSNBC. Yeah, what's it? Anyway, name is Melvin, and Kellyanne Conway was doing a live shot with Melvin, and they were talking about Trump tweets. Craig Melvin, thank you. Craig Melvin. Here, listen to the audio.
This obsession with covering everything he says on Twitter and very little of what he does president.
That's his preferred method of communication with the American people.
That's not true.
He hasn't given any.
All right, well, let me stop that. First of all, I don't want to agree with much that let me rephrase it. I just want to agree with the truth. I want to agree with what I ideologically believe in. And, well, from an ideological standpoint, there's not much that I agree with vis-a-vis MSNBC. Kelly, that wasn't a very good exchange, and I don't intend to come to the defense and rescue the folks at MSNBC, but, you know, I don't carry anyone's water. I mean, my opinions are my own. I'm not a radio talk show guy with a checklist. There are plenty of radio shows that won't acknowledge any misstep, any error that Trump makes. And I'm going to give you the good, the bad. And there you have the facts of life. You take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have.
This obsession with covering everything he says on Twitter and very little of what he does as president.
That's his preferred method of communication with the American people.
That's not true.
Well, it is true. It is. I mean, you look at the amount of tweeting that Trump has done. I've got to agree with, believe it or not, Craig Melvin at MSNBC that, yeah, Trump's preferred method of communication is Twitter. And, you know, Trump has been the obsession, as Kellyanne Conway put it.
This obsession with covering everything he says on Twitter.
I mean, Trump has created the obsession. I mean, see, I'm an honest, fair guy. Trump has created a frenzy. Trump has turned Twitter into an info weapon, an info bomb. Trump has done this himself. He has turned to social media like no president ever. Now, granted, social media is new, but listen, Twitter goes back to George W. Bush. Twitter goes back to his second administration, his second term in the White House. Twitter popped up in, what, 2008? Somewhere in that vicinity. George W. Bush could have been on Twitter. Certainly could have been on Facebook. Could have been on MySpace even earlier than that. But, and, of course, Obama. Yeah, of course, there were official accounts and there were official postings. But Trump has obviously taken it to a whole new level. I mean, it's a whole new ballgame. I mean, it is uncharted territory. A president with his cell phone in his hands that tweets at whim, whenever. I mean, there is something refreshing about that, but there's also something a little dangerous and discombobulated when Trump does tweet out something that actually bulldozes his policy and what he's, you know, hoping that his solicitor general will argue in front of the Supreme Court. And, of course, I'm talking about the travel ban, which they have called a travel pause. And then he comes back and says it's a ban. And then he talks about we need extreme vetting. But then we're arguing that we need the ban for extreme vetting. I mean, Trump has undermined his case. And remember, the justices, or I should say the judges, the Ninth Circuit, the Fourth Circuit out of Richmond, they have cited Trump's own words. So you've got to be really careful. And what Trump says does need to be vetted. And Trump doesn't have a filter, and he doesn't want anyone to tell him what to say or do. And I don't think he wants to be vetted. That's something that they've not been able to lasso. And you have to, if you're not going to be vetted, if you're not going to be corralled, or if you don't want your tweets approved or gone over with a fine-tooth comb to figure out if there are any ramifications, positive, negative, whatever, on a White House policy or foreign policy, whatever, you name it. If Trump doesn't want somebody overseeing or saying, hey, let's put that on pause, we got to, you know, look into this. If Trump doesn't want that, well, then he's going to have to pay the piper occasionally. He's going to have to deal with the ramifications of that. So today, I mean, Trump even details some of this. But for Kellyanne Conway to say that there's an obsession with Twitter, no, Trump is obsessed with Twitter.
This obsession with covering everything he says on Twitter.
So Trump is obsessed with Twitter, and yes, the media is also obsessed. It is a double obsession. In fact, I ought to play Anna Motion, you're my obsession, you're my obsession. You're my obsession. I mean, it's an obsession. It's on both sides, obviously.
And very little of what he does as president.
That's his preferred method of communication with the American people.
That's not true.
Well, it is true. That's preposterous.
Well, he hasn't given an interview in 3 weeks. So lately it has been his preferred method.
Well, you look at the number of interviews he's given and look at the number of tweets. I mean, clearly, yes, Twitter is Trump's preferred method of communication. So let me go back to some of Trump's tweets today. 8 hours ago, this morning, 8 o'clock this morning or so, Donald Trump tweets out, the fake MSM or mainstream media is working so hard trying to get me not to use social media. They hate that I can get the honest and unfiltered message out. Well, you know, Kellyanne Conway and those in the White House, I mean, here Trump is saying that he's, what he's tweeting is honest and unfiltered. I mean, you can't have it both ways. I mean, the president said that it was honest and unfiltered. What else here? Sorry, folks, this is 7 hours ago. Sorry, folks, but if I would have relied on the fake news of CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Washington Post, and New York Times, I would have had zero chance winning WH or White House. And some Cutter tweets. There's a very interesting dynamic with Cutter and the Middle East and other Middle Eastern nations essentially dissolving relationships. It's a very precarious situation, which we'll deal with later on. And then he has a D-Day tweet. Of course, today we remember the courage and bravery of our troops that stormed the beaches of Normandy 73 years ago. Hashtag D-Day, hashtag heroes, and a photo of Normandy Beach and troops on the beach. And it says, remembering D-Day, June 6th, 1944. And again, yeah, the greatest generation. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, but you can't have it both ways. You can't say that Trump is communicating on Twitter, but it's not his preferred method of communication, because clearly it is. And also, there was an argument over policy. And some were suggesting inside the White House that, no, it's not policy. It's just Trump tweeting. Well, if you have the president of the United States, it's not a 16 or a 17-year-old tweeting on social media. It's the president of the United States. And whatever the hell the president puts out on Twitter carry some serious damn weight. I don't know. You don't have to be on the right or the left, a conservative, a liberal, to figure that out. And then we do have clarification. So the position that I've taken all along is that, yeah, it has weight. And it's pretty damn close to an official position. How can it not be? It's coming from the president's mouth. Well, earlier today, Sean Spicer said that Trump's tweets are official statements from Trump. Official statements from the White House? Don't think they went that far, but they're official statements from Trump, but Trump is the White House. Or are they leaving wiggle room that you might have official statements from Trump, but official White House policy might be tweaked? It is unconventional, folks. Nobody said that this was even remotely conventional, because it is not. Listen, if you want to weigh in on the tweets, what Trump tweets, do you take that as official policy? I don't know how you separate it. I can't do it. I can't with a straight face say Trump tweets this out. He tweets, unfiltered honesty and the media hates it, and then say, oh, nope, that's not official. He's talking this, but it's unfiltered and honest. Listen, if you're an all-out Trump supporter, listen, I'm a Trump supporter, but I'm not unconditional. I'll tell you when the guy F's up. I'll tell you when he does a good job. Oh, by the way, Sue, can you grab the audio? He wished James Comey good luck. What the test? Is the media going to twist that around that, ooh, that was a threat. That was like something in The Godfather. Yeah, good luck. Hope nothing happens to you on the way to the testimony. No, he didn't say that, but before you know it, it'll be twisted into that. 800-801-8999. That is the nationwide number. Direct question for you, the Schnitt listener. Can you separate Trump tweeting from official White House policy? You can't. And Sean Spicer tends to allude to that today, that they've gone further by saying that they are official statements from Trump. You want to weigh in? Let's go. 800-801-8999. 800-801-8999. The nationwide number here on Schnitt. That's how you get in. Another phenomenal Father's Day suggestion for the father in your life. You know, it doesn't just have to be your dad. It could be your husband who's a dad. It could be your uncle. It could be grandpa who's a dad, obviously. Harry's. Do you want a gift that will be used every day or virtually every day, that every time they use the Harry's razor, that they're going to say, wow, I got that for Father's Day. And the shave is the best ever. I mean, imagine that synergy there, that symbiotic relationship. Folks, Father's Day is going to sneak up on us quickly here. How'd you like to take care of Dad right now? You know, it's out of the way. And give Dad a gift. I mean, the pricing is great on this. It is a shave kit from Harry's, a great shave, fair price. And, you know, once you get the shave kit, then Dad can sign up and just get the blades delivered at a reasonable interval, whatever. And the blades are half the price of the big drugstore brands. Make Dad thrilled. You know, Harry's shave sets start at just $15. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, three of Harry's five-blade engineered razors. There's also, for Father's Day, there are a bunch of options here. And the kits start at $15. I mean, and then we're going to give you a discount code to get money off of that. But there's a limited edition Father's Day shave set. It includes a matte black razor handle. This is limited edition. It's really sleek and cool. It comes with the matte black razor handle, chrome razor stand, Harry's moisturizing foaming shave gel. You get three of Harry's handcrafted blade cartridges. You get a travel cover. It comes in a really, really nice giftable box. I should know because they sent me a couple of these so I could see what they look like before I did the commercials. You can even add custom engraving. How do you get this amazing offer starting at $15? Go to harrys.com right now and redeem my special code, fans of the show. Harry's going to knock another $5 off your purchase. The promo code is SCHNITT5. The promo code is SCHNITT5. You know, don't wait. Go to Harry's.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S, Harry's.com. The code is SCHNIT5 to get $5 off at checkout. Great Father's Day gift, and you can take care of it right now. Harry's.com, code SCHNIT5.
One of the fastest growing shows in America. This is SCHNIT.
The third suspect, the name was announced. This is the British terror attack. Also, new details out on the ringleader. The red flags, dramatic. Then today in Paris, we had an attacker who apparently said this is for Syria before he smashed a French cop with a hammer. Yeah, this is Paris, right outside of Notre Dame, famous cathedral. Guy says this is for Syria, then bashes a police officer in the head outside the famous church. Well, there's a terror investigation which has been opened on this. The guy also had a couple of kitchen knives and some other unsophisticated weapons, luckily. Charged toward these officers patrolling, this is the Esplanade in front of the cathedral. The wounded officer was able to fire a couple of rounds at the suspect. It injured the attacker and both men taken to the hospital. Algerian? I saw that this individual was Algerian. Then we have, of course, the Paris attack and this crazy attack in Canada, closer to home. Hold on. Next.
This is SCHNIT.
You know, I haven't gone to phones yet today. I think we should. I just have so much to cram into today's show, and I lose track of time as we're at the halfway point. But I don't know where the time went today. We do have a London terror update. You know, this morning the third suspect's name was released. Again, I don't know how all of these red flags were missed. I don't know. We've got a woman screaming Allahu Akbar, and wait till you hear what she did in a store in Toronto. Tell you that here in just a matter of moments. Let's regarding Trump's tweeting, let me squeeze in one at least here. How about Tracy? And folks, if you want to get in, 800-801-8999. That's the nationwide number. 800-801-8999. You know, I'd love to hear from the diehard Trump fan. Any issue with Trump's tweeting? Any issue with if he does undermine his own legal case, as legal experts have said that he has regarding the travel ban? Do you have an issue with this? I mean, should Trump's tweets be vetted? I mean, is he going to tweet something? He's already hurt the legal case potentially before the Supreme Court if it's taken there regarding the travel ban and a higher court ruling regarding what the Ninth Circuit and what the Fourth Circuit have ruled on. 800-801-8999. Directly to the Trump diehard fan, meaning Trump can do nothing wrong. Can I get your take on Trump's tweeting, and if he does need to back it down, if he does need to put a filter on? You know, more and more conservatives who have supported Trump are starting to say, all right, Donald, enough is enough. Time to take it down a notch. Now, I've been saying it for quite a while. And, you know, also, Trump is not a conservative. You know, certainly he rode a wave of conservative populism, but certainly Trump doesn't have the chops or the background to be labeled a conservative or even a lifelong Republican. He was a Democrat. So we'll grab some calls here. 800-801-8999 gets you on. Tracy, thanks for hanging. I highly appreciate it. Tracy, in Hallandale, Florida, you're on SCHNIT. Hi.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call, first of all. I am not one of those people who am a diehard, everything he does is golden person. However, I like you, want to see him succeed in a lot of these policies and issues that need to be fixed in the country. as far as the tweets go, I love hearing his opinion and his thoughts directly from the horse's mouth. However, I wish some kind of alarm would go off every time he opens Twitter so that either like Melania or Ivanka or Mike Pence or somebody gets notified, hey, he's on Twitter, so they can help vet him a little bit, because I do think the tweets are ultimately going to hurt him more than help him.
Well, again, like I said, you have some avid Trump supporters that are starting to say, hey, enough, need to back this down, need to take it away, you need to filter him better, he needs to be monitored, because Trump does not know how to necessarily legally vet a tweet if, in fact, it could come back to bite in a legal case. And it's believed that his tweets regarding the travel ban will, you know, you had the lower courts, the appeals courts, 9th and 4th, both cited Trump's tweets as part of their decision. Now, granted, you have a very liberal 9th, you have a less liberal 4th, but you had Obama appointed and liberal presidential appointees that were in the majority opinion on the 4th Circuit out of Richmond. But still, they have cited Trump's tweets, and that could actually hinder progress, and I don't think we need that either.
No, absolutely. My concern is, who is he going to listen to, if anybody? You know?
Listen, clearly he listens to some people. He must listen, whether he applies what he learns through listening and really comes up with a decision, or he just does it his way. Listen,
right.
I don't know all of the inner workings, but some have also said that he doesn't want to listen to anybody, that he's going to do whatever he wants. But I gotta believe that Trump listens and applies sage advice, especially on issues that he's not well versed in, and issues that are of a national security nature, a geopolitical issue, which have serious ramifications on the United States, Tracy. I want to believe he takes advice and listens.
Me too. I'm with you.
All right, Tracy, thank you. Ron is next we'll stay in Florida. Ron is in Tampa. Hello, Ron. You're on Schnitt.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Can't complain. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, diehard Trump fan. I don't care what he tweets out. It's him against the world. Everybody's against him, including the majority of the Republican Party, which are basically useless. But these snowflakes out there, you know, political correctness is what he fought on and ran on and won, and we're done with it. So if he tweets out something and, hey, it might be a little bit inappropriate, it doesn't bother me one little bit.
But what if it comes back to haunt him and damages his agenda? What if it damages his legal position on something that he is trying to get accomplished? What?
What doesn't damage his agenda at this point? You got the snowflakes on one side. You got the Republicans on the other side.
They're
all looking at him under a microscope.
But Ron,
looking for something.
Ron, you can't sweep everything under the rug. You can't say, "Oh, he's just being Trump." If he has an agenda, and let me be very clear, I agree with the bulk of Trump's agenda. I agree with most of the policy that he and this White House have set forth. I agree with most of it, but if his social media usage potentially damages some of that policy, that's counterproductive.
Well, just like the travel ban, we all know it's a ban. You know, just because he said it in a tweet and he's trying to get it passed through the Supreme Court, what's wrong with that? We're banning certain individuals from certain places from coming into this country. It's a ban. I have no problem with that. And that's what he said in his tweet. You know, I think just because of language.
The problem is his lawyers, his Department of Justice lawyers, and the Solicitor General, who would need to argue the president's case before the Supreme Court, they're saying that Trump's words are hurting him and hurting the policy in which he's trying to enact. So that becomes problematic.
I do see your point.
Yeah, I mean, because it's valid. It's real. I want the travel ban. I agree with the travel ban. I agree with Iran and Sudan and Syria and Yemen. And who else am I missing there? Somalia. I agree with those countries being on a travel ban. I won't even call it a pause. I want a ban for now because we can't trust the vetting. There's lousy intel there. We don't have good intel sharing. I mean, I agree with the ban. I want a ban. I don't want it negated. I don't want it potentially thwarted by the president's tweets.
Yeah.
So the bottom line, that's it. All right, moving on to Tom. Tom is next on Schnitt. Tom, thank you for holding. You're on.
Hey, Todd. Yeah, I don't have a problem with him tweeting at all. And it's no different than emails or any other form of communication now. We just have to get used to it.
Well, again, I don't have a problem with President Trump tweeting, but I have a problem if it damages the policies, which I agree with, that I want him to carry out.
Why don't you have a problem with those judges?
Well, I do. I do have a problem
with him tweeting. He was being honest.
I do have a problem with but if Trump's own attorneys, see, this is, Tom, please don't take this as a negative. This is not a swipe at you. But there are a lot of Trump supporters that are rewriting reality. If Trump's own lawyers that are on his team and they're trying to affirm his position and get his policies carried out and not interfered with the courts, if his own lawyers are saying, hey, your tweets, your verbiage, it's hurting our case, you don't care? And it's the judge's fault?
But it's political correctness that's driving this.
No, it's legal ease. It's Trump calling it a travel ban when his lawyers are saying, no, it's a pause. I mean, hello. I mean, this is not tough to grasp.
Obama deemed the same countries dangerous to us, but it wasn't anything then. It was fabulous. Same thing with his choice of communication. If Trump got a fair deal with the mainstream media, then he would be using the mainstream media. That's why he does it.
Tom, I think we've hit a wall here. I'm telling you that Trump's own lawyers are telling him, hey, we're trying to help you here. We're trying to get your agenda passed, but you're thwarting that. You are you're a block. You're an obstacle to getting our point proven. You're handing ammunition to the other side. You're giving judges, you're giving the other side ammunition to use against you. I don't know what's so tough to understand. And again, like the majority of Trump's agenda, supported wholeheartedly. I want the travel ban. I'll call it a travel ban. It should exist for the protection of this country from those particular countries and immigration or travel visas, whatever the documentation would be for a particular travel. I support that. I want the ban. I won't even call it a pause. I'll call it a ban. But I can't sit here and go along with those that want to rewrite reality. Trump has to be called on the carpet for things that need to be fixed or areas and pitfalls that need to be avoided. Wow. 800-801-8999, nationwide number. I think we've stirred up a hornet's nest here. I think we're going to stick with this because every single phone line is blowing off the wall. Back in moments.
Schnitt Show.
Also, the administration had originally said that Trump's tweets are not official policy. But today at the White House press briefing, Sean Spicer, who was back in action today at the lectern, he did say that Trump's tweets are official statements from Trump. Now, are they trying to delineate and say that that is different from official White House policy? I don't know how you necessarily can parse and separate. It's really splitting hairs. I think it's playing word games. Back to phones. They've exploded on this. Megan in Charlevoix, Michigan. Hello, Megan.
Hello,
Todd. How are you today?
I'm well. So we're in the early part of June in Michigan, where you are up north. Is it cooler or warmer than usual this time of year?
It's actually beautiful today. We just kind of hit, 80s, and I think it's officially here.
in New York City, where I bounce back and forth between Florida and New York, in New York City, May was an extremely cool month, and June is starting off to be extremely cool, so much colder than usual temperatures in New York.
May was colder than usual here, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, yeah, so global warming, right?
That's reversed, yep.
All right, Megan, you're on. Go ahead.
Well, I love Trump's tweets. I love them because they're honest and they're true, and you say you want the ban, but the whole thing that he said, the word ban, makes the lawyers mad, and it's a ban, and that's what it is, and that's his honest truth. And what kind of lawyer are you if you can't argue, hey, it is a ban? It's just
The goal is to win. The goal is to institute and invoke the policy, which I agree with.
Right, so argue that.
Well, you are arguing it, but the judges are using Trump's words against him. That's the problem here. So you need to.
What word are they using against him? The word ban?
Well, because Trump is saying travel ban originally, and the attorneys are trying to say, no, it's just a pause. It's not a ban. So you have Trump's words working against what the lawyers are claiming. Say it again?
It is a ban, though. It is a temporary ban.
But if the judges don't like that, then you've got to play the system. You've got to try to wiggle and worm around and get Trump's policies instituted. Don't shoot yourself in the foot before you even get before the court. That's the problem.
I understand what you're saying, but you're asking him to wiggle around and to be, quote, politically correct.
Yeah, guess what? That's 100% right. If you want to get his policies instituted, especially this ban, which the lawyers are trying to say it's a pause, and we have an issue with Trump saying that we already extreme vet when we're trying to, when the lawyers are saying, no, we need the travel pause because we have a problem with extreme vetting. We have a contradiction here. So Trump is contradicting the lawyers, who everyone's on the same team and wants the same end result. That's the problem.
I get it. And you want it too. But what you're saying is, in order to get the ban, you have to not call it a ban. That's what you're saying.
Follow the lawyer's advice. That's what Trump needs to do. Megan, thank you. Al is next on Schnitt. Hello, Al.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm fine. Go ahead. We only have a few seconds.
Okay, let me lay it on you. The overall premise of his tweets, I love that he tweets. And he tweets with a purpose. But the big thing here is that no matter what, he calls it a ban it is, a ban you can argue. It's within the president's plenary powers. I understand your point as far as what the judges might want to interpret. But even if they interpret it as a ban, okay, it is within the president's plenary powers to institute a ban.
Well, Al, guess what? He's running into the wall, and the ban is not instituted because courts have issued stays. He's not a king. Colleen, quickly on Schnitt. Go, Colleen.
Hi. As the greatest said, the good, bad, and the ugly. Everybody talks about the good first. I'm going to say the ugly right up front. I think that there should be some type of a filter. I'm down for and was behind him all the way for Trump, and I still am. But he's kind of like a Kanye West in the politics. You know, somebody's got to take it away and look at what he's doing. And we also need to, as a nation, readdress the law. And the laws of the country.
That's why you wiggle through the judicial system.
We have
executive, legislative, judicial, and Trump's got to figure out how to work judicial. Listen to the lawyers. This is